You are listening to the Streets MN Podcast, a place where conversations about Minnesota's transportation and land use are expanded through research and informed commentary.
Hello and welcome to the Streets.MN podcast. My name is Bill Lindeke, and coming to you from St. Paul's Frogtown neighborhood, I'm happy to bring you a conversation with Nelsie Yang, who's running for City Council to represent St. Paul's 6th Ward. The 6th Ward encompasses the north half of the east side. It's a large and diverse part of St. Paul that runs all the way from just east of 35E to the city border. In it, you'll find Payne Avenue, Lake Phelan, the East 7th Corridor, and a dozen neighborhoods that are home to thousands of St. Paulites. And this year, which is actually next week, there's an open race for the 6th Ward seat for the first time in almost two decades. And Nelsie Yang is one of the leading candidates who's running for that council seat. I sat down with Nelsie Yang at Cadence Coffee and Records on Payne Avenue the other day to chat about her campaign, her platform, and her background as a community organizer. She was eager to share her vision for St. Paul's East Side and why she believes she has the energy and passion that will bring long overdue representation to St. Paul's communities of color, young people, and others that make up the diverse communities of the East Side. We talked about affordable housing, how to tackle crime, economic and community development, transportation issues, and how to transform politics in the 21st century. So that's a lot of stuff, and it was fun and a pleasure to sit down with Nelsie and chat about all this. So I hope you enjoy the conversation, and if you live in St. Paul or anywhere that's having a municipal election this fall, please go out and vote on Election Day. It's no exaggeration to say that very few people vote for municipal elections, so your vote will make a difference. Well, probably, depending on where you live. But honestly, it's a very important thing for you to do if you care about your city government. So go out and vote on Election Day if you live in St. Paul or wherever you live, if they're having a municipal election. Before we get to the main part of the podcast, though, I want to pause and let you know that this podcast is sponsored by me and by the St. Paul flag. If you know me, you know that I love the St. Paul flag. And if you live in St. Paul, you might not know that we have an official city flag. I gave one to Nelsie Yang when we chatted, actually. In fact, it's been the official flag since 1932, when it was selected in a competitive flag contest for the grand opening of the City Hall and County Courthouse in downtown on Kellogg Street. It's red, yellow, and blue, features a bunch of cool symbols, and is altogether not so bad. So best bet, you can buy one today on my website. I'll ship it out to you the first chance I get. More and more people are enjoying the St. Paul flag, and you can too. So check it out. Get one for yourself. Get one for a local business if you know someone who has a business in St. Paul, or if a friend of yours lives in St. Paul. By the way, there's also a Northeast Minneapolis flag that on another podcast I might talk more about. Anyway, the St. Paul flag comes in two sizes and two patterns. You can get it at my flag and merchandise website, and the address for that is tcsidewalks.bigcartel.com. You can find flags, books, and other merchandise that help support me and this podcast. So the address for that is tcsidewalks.bigcartel.com. Thanks very much. Well, with that said and out of the way, here's my chat with Nelsie Yang. She's a candidate for St. Paul City Council in the 6th Ward. Don't forget to vote on Election Day, and thanks for listening to the Streets.MN podcast. Welcome, Nelsie Yang, to the podcast here.
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm feeling really pumped. I am here at one of my favorite cafes, Cadence Coffee and Records. And hey, Matt. Yeah, and so everything's
thanks,
going...
Thanks, Matt.
It's a really good morning.
Yeah, Payne Avenue is awesome. I'm really a huge fan of it.
Same here.
It's in Ward 6, and I would like you to pretend you're talking to someone who's not from the Twin Cities. Like, what is Ward 6 like in St. Paul? Like, where are the boundaries, and like, what is it kind of, this neighborhood, this ward, what is it like?
Well, Ward 6 here is a really, really beautiful, diverse community. Like, we have an abundance of, like, just diversity here in the population. Like, so many people who come from backgrounds where their parents or even themselves, they are immigrants, refugees. We have so many working families here, and I feel like in the East Side here, we are a growing population of people who are young, people who are renters, and people who just really want to feel a piece of deep, deep community, which I feel in the world of politics that I've been, you know, just like working on year after year, that's something that I feel people want more and more. Like, we actually don't want to live in a community where we feel isolated, where we feel like we have to lock ourselves up in our home in order to feel safe. We actually want to live in deep, deep abundance. And that's what that's like the first thing that comes to mind when I think of this community. My family has, you know, my parents, they came here as refugees in 1989, and they landed in Duluth. But after we moved out of Duluth, maybe about, you know, 1998, a lot of my family members lived in the East Side. That was like the second home for them. And so I grew up always being surrounded by such a beautiful community here in the East Side. And I love it, this place, so much, definitely because it feels like a place where I belong, where I feel I'm not picked on or excluded on because of my background as a daughter of refugees, as like a working person living paycheck to paycheck, nor like as a renter as well. And I am running for city council because I am really passionate about bringing Ward 6 to a place where like every family can thrive, and that means like making sure our ward is aggressively becoming a more progressive side of the city, and a place where we are actually like making sure that the systems we live in and our community here is working for people across race, class, and gender. Like in the world of politics today, if you are somebody who is not committed to building that type of community, like you should not be running for office, like because the world that we live in today is like a growing progressive community, and it actually takes like people who are really I believe that it takes people who are really courageous, bold, and committed to this vision to be able to be a council member in Ward 6, because our ward has been marginalized and disenfranchised like for so long. Like, we have some of the lowest, the East Side overall has the lowest voter turnout here in St. Paul. And to me, like, you know, I guess like I suppose that would shock me, but like doing the racial equity work that I do, I know like many other people know too that people of color, people who, you know, are renters, people who are just working families have actually always been left out of decision making when it comes to the future of their city, future of the ward. And like, that is something that needs to change. Like, and all the work that I do is really to change the system and make it work for us. And that's what I'm here for, running for city council.
Great. Yeah. I am interested in the racial equity work you're talking about and some of your background. So I know you started or helped with a nonprofit called the Hmong Americans for Justice.
Yes.
And can you talk about that and then maybe some of your other experience and why that helps inform your perspective here in your race for city council?
Yeah, well, I feel like I bring so much of my racial equity work into what I do because as a woman of color, as someone who grew up actually not being involved in politics at all because one of my parents did not have access to that, those are things that I hold on to because that's my story and it's what I use to really like charge forward in my campaign, because I know that there are a lot of families in the East Side here who have that same experience as well, and really just want to be able to have someone in city council where they feel they're being listened to, where they feel like someone is there actually championing them and like here to shake things up and change things and not actually keep it the same. To me, like, I do racial equity work because I believe that we are actually a stronger community when we have more representation at the table. You know, we are stronger when we have all voices at the table, and that means making sure that people from different race, class, gender, especially age as well, are coming together to make decisions. And like, that's especially important as we think about where we're going to be like 10-20 years, where our climate is going to be 10-20 years from now, where the demands around housing is going to be 10-20 years from now, where, you know, what our wage and like student debt is even going to be like years from now. And like, I don't run to just fix things for the upcoming 4 years, but I'm someone super invested in making sure that the East Side here is actually a place that's livable 10-20 years down the road. And I know that what the decisions that I make collectively with the people who live here these upcoming 4 years is actually going to set us is going to be the thing that sets us on the right track for this place to be livable years down the road. And like, that's why that's why we need people who are actually bringing in that vision and like projecting long term, because that's something that we don't really see in politics today. And that's why you see like so many young people who are energized talking about climate justice, talking about why it's so important for us to pay people livable wages. And like, you know, we see a lot of people being allies in that. And like, we need that type of presence here, that bold, courageous, progressive presence here in Ward 6 for us to be able to move forward. And so the like Ward 6, like being so diverse, it needs to be a place where families here are able to live in abundance. And it needs to be a racially equitable community, because it's actually going to continue being growing more, being to be more diverse. And we need those families to actually have a voice and have a place here.
Yeah, personally, I'm really thrilled to see younger people of color running for office in this war, because the representation hasn't been that way in the past in like my lifetime here. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a nice long overdue shift that I think we're finally experiencing in 2019 here. So
absolutely. I feel that way too. And, you know, you mentioned my work with Hmong Americans for Justice. Mm-hmm. I was an organizer with them.
What does that organization do?
It's a social justice organization that really works to build political power within the Hmong American community. Like, we have a very large, like St. Paul is actually the city that has like the densest Hmong population,
right?
And like out of the entire country, like this is the place where Hmong people have chosen to make their home, because it's a place where we see opportunity, where we feel we are included, where we feel we belong.
I think that's one of the amazing things about St. Paul.
Yeah me too. And so that's what the organization works to build, like making sure that we do have a more representative democracy, that the Hmong community here, like they have a seat at the table. And that's actually something that I want people from all different race, background, income, you know, gender to be able to have as well, like these type of organizations that do care about giving you a seat at the table. And in my work at Hmong Americans for Justice, at the time we worked on pedestrian safety in places where we felt were very marginalized, and where there was just a lot of danger for people who were walking. And like, that's important to me, because I mean, our roads are built for cars, built for motorists. It's actually not built for people to be walking or biking at all. And it's not even built for people who have disabilities, which is like one of the biggest things the issues that I encounter whenever I talk to people who have always been left out, who have disabilities, and like even our roads are not working for them. And so I think that we, like in the future, we really need to start thinking about who we are making decisions for and who we are making place for when we are making decisions, because it's definitely not people who are left out. And so this campaign was extremely important to me, because I work with a lot of elders. I actually care a lot about my elders, you know, many of who go and shop a lot at Hmong Village, who live across the street from Hmong Village. And that Hmong Village is a very like hot spot in the east side here. If you come, you have to go to that place.
Yeah, it's
and
where
try
I
all
took
the food.
My friends from out of town.
Oh, really?
They came to visit recently.
Yeah, and so like that, there's all the surrounding like intersections by Hmong Village are extremely, extremely busy. Cars are just like dashing fast, like not even abiding by the speed limit there, which I think it's only like 20 or 25, but cars are like flying by at like 30 or 40. And so people have had such a hard time even crossing the street. And so, you know, I worked on a local campaign to get a traffic signal built there. And I think that what really disturbed me about that project was that when I went to our council member in Ward 6 and asked them, hey, can you champion this? Can you make sure that our streets are actually safer and that they work for people who are walking on foot and bikers as well? Instead of the council member telling me, hey, yeah, like I'll make sure that our city workers come and do a traffic study here. Instead of saying that, they said to our one of our organizers, well, yeah, I think we could do that, but why don't you, and I think that the better idea is that if you go stand on the corner and count the cars and then do the study and then bring that data back to me. And that just completely shocked me, because this is actually the type of behavior and the type of like response that I feel you know, we would expect from a place that has been so marginalized, and in a place where people aren't getting investment, people aren't getting resources, and people aren't being represented. And that's like, you know, that campaign just really opened up my eyes even more to the things I already believed about the East Side, which was that this place is being left behind, where, you know, other places in St. Paul are growing aggressively and, you know, in wealth, especially, like, the East Side has actually not been experiencing that. And so I am just ready to charge forward and make sure that we are creating opportunities here. We're making sure that families here can, you know, are prosperous, that they live in a place where they feel they could go out walking the streets and have opportunity. And like, investing in our young people especially is important, because one day I'm not going to be alive anymore. And I
let's, you know, not go that yeah. far forward.
Right. But, you know, but I want this place to be a place where no matter what your background is, you can come stay here and be here long term and not have to get priced out, or not to feel like, oh, this is a place where, you know, that's going to like deteriorate or like, you know, just suffer a lot. And so I care a lot about this home, and I'm here to build it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember the effort around Hmong Village, which I should say is a complex of a market. It's a multiple buildings, or it's one very large building. It's an amazing, huge market full of entrepreneurs and business people with stalls selling every product you can imagine from Southeast Asia and from around here. And it's just an amazing place. And there's lots of food and lots of clothing and tons of people and lots of older and younger people too. So like, you have like the elders that you're talking about, and they maybe don't go that fast when they cross the street.
Right.
And then a lot of young people too. So and then there's a lot of cars around there, and it's dangerous.
Yes. Yep. And like, what I just took away from that local campaign is that like, we are capable of so much change here. Like, it took us like about 4 or 5 years, you know, just being able to make change on the intersections of our Hmong Village.
Did you finally get the crosswalk intersection?
Yeah, I was going to share that. We didn't get a traffic signal, but we won so much. Like, we won money to build a pedestrian hawk light, so that if people are going to cross the street, they could just press a button, lights flash up, and then cars are signaled to stop for pedestrians. And even just this year, the city bulldozed like one of the streets so that they could build a median where you can now start making left or right turns out of Hmong Village on one side of the entrances. And like, the reason why that's so important is so that like, it really just decreases traffic to the heavier side of the entrance where a lot of cars choose to go to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like, only before that change, you could only make there was only one side of Hmong Village where you can make left and right turns, but now we have opened up access for you to be able to make it at all the entrances. And so that's just really amazing. And that's like the power of people coming together. And that's what it looks like when we make sure that we are making our system work for us.
Great. Mm-hmm. That's a good story and a good example of something that maybe probably the city engineers hadn't thought of, but then the people, if you ask them, will like bring up issues and perspectives that aren't reflected in the city hall offices.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. And like, I just want to share that people always ask me as a candidate, oh, what's your experience doing this or that? Or then, you know, that's like always the
Sorry
ask
for
question.
Asking you that.
No, that's okay. Like, that's the question always being asked in politics, but that's actually not an important question to me, because when we only focus on our experience and like use that as like a platform about us being able to make change, it counts out a lot of people. But I say that because at the with the Hmong Village campaign, or like that traffic signal campaign that we were working on, we had so many people who actually just cared and came together, and like, just like neighbors who had concerns and came together as a collective to make change. And like, that, you know, to me, it just like reaffirms that anybody can make change. And like, you actually don't need to have like to know all the nuts and bolts to be able to do that. You don't need to have like a resume. You don't need to be sitting on 20-30 boards, you know, which is like, these are all things that the other folks in my campaign are always like talking about when I'm in forums with them. And like, I wish they could just talk about people. I wish they could just talk about what people are experiencing and that deep struggle, and make that what politics is about, because that's the type of politics I believe in. And like, I work at Take Action Minnesota, where that is like the focus of what we do. And Take Action is a progressive organization that's been working like many, many years to fight for public health care, won so much money from corporations, like made our made sure that like people with criminal records actually like have can go to apply for jobs and not be asked about their criminal record, and so much more. And like even just recently, like we won an ordinance to an ordinance around limitations on background checks so that people from like who have a record from 20, 30 years ago are still not having difficulty finding a house or a job just because of their record.
Yeah, and, like, is that that's in Minneapolis?
That's in Minneapolis, and we need that in St. Paul, and we're going to be fighting hard for us to be able to get that because a lot of people, you know, have a record but are afraid to talk about it. And, like, if we want to actually tackle homelessness, then we need something like that done in St. Paul here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, that was the next question I had. Mm-hmm. It was about how in your website and your campaign, and so far today, you've mentioned a couple times that you're a renter and that you think that's important.
Yeah.
So I am also a renter, at least for the next month.
Yeah. And thanks for sharing.
And I've been talking about that at the Planning Commission on for years, like about how it's important that we have more renters' voices. And
you're on the St. Paul Planning Commission.
Yeah,
okay. That's
in
great.
In the city. And well, just talk about that. You know, I think it's often you don't hear renters included in conversations about what the future should be like or what are important values.
Well, I just want to share that renters, like, to me, no matter if you've lived in the East Side for one day or if you've been here for a week or 10 years or your entire life, like, you are still someone who belongs in the community. And I say that firmly, like with the firm belief that like renters also deserve a seat at the table. Like in May, that was when we had our DFL convention. In my campaign, like we let in all the ballots. We came in first in all the ballots, no matter how hard like other campaigns tried to tear us down. And you know, I remember us celebrating that victory while other candidates, the person who came in, the person who actually like released, made this a press release was Terry Tao, and she had one of her campaign supporters actually like verbally, you know, say some negative things about me being a renter. And like that is something that was really upsetting, because when people actually like I almost want to say like bully and they pick on me for being a renter, they're actually like picking it on a lot of people who live in the East Side here, and a lot of people who are actually just trying to find a home and make a living and like care for their family and themselves. And so to me, like having a seat for renters is so important, because we have a growing population of people who are renters, and that's because of all the student debt that like people are living through, because of the wages that people are making that aren't livable, and so much more factors. And that means that we need to keep rent affordable. That means that we need renters to have rights. That means we need a city council in St. Paul here who's going to pass regulation on security deposits and credit checks as well, and background checks, so that our main goal is not about, well, how do we keep housing affordable, or how do we build more affordable housing, right? But it's actually more about, we need to make sure every single person in the city of St. Paul has a roof over their head. And like, that is my goal, like, you know, and like that, when we actually come from that value in housing, it will allow us to do even more rather than to live in this box around housing where it's like all about money, all about budget. And like that people-centered values that we need in politics is actually what we need, like all across the map, in order for us to be able to make sure people can just live lives that are joyful, lives that, you know, they're proud of, and care for themselves and their family. And like, that's the most important thing to me.
Yeah. So the renters' rights ordinance in Minneapolis that just passed over in their city council—that's mm-hmm. something you like. And
absolutely.
I think I remember it was there was a. Well, you probably know it by heart too. Like, what was in that ordinance?
What was that?
What was in that ordinance? What are the actual policies and why are those
so
important?
So in that ordinance, so there's like three important things. The first one is there is language in there that sets limits on security deposits. And I don't actually have it memorized word for word, but I encourage
it's everyone. A little complicated.
Yes, it is. but the three things, the main things that anyone should take away from this is that it does set limits on security deposits so that we don't have landlords or people coming into our coming into the community trying to provide housing that is setting security deposits that are ridiculously high. I mean, I remember hearing so many stories stories of people talking about how they had to pay like either twice or three times their security deposit in order to be able to move into their apartment. Like, that's completely ridiculous. For folks who have that amount of savings in their account, like, that's wonderful. But the truth is that a lot of families are struggling, and we need, we need to make, we need limits that are actually going to work for families. There's also language that sets limitations around, like, credit checks as well, and then background checks. So I think, if I remember correctly, when you do a background check on someone who is going to be, who wants to live in your apartment, then you can only see up to 7 years from today, I believe.
Seems like a long time.
and I feel like that. You know, like, we have people who, the reason why I care a lot about that is, like, I have family members. I have a brother also who has been, who, you know, because of the deep poverty that I lived in growing up, who are tied up in the criminal justice system. And all they want is, they just want an opportunity to be able to get out of it. And if we live in a system where it makes it hard for people to even get a job, to be able to get a, to be able to get a place of their own, then how can we actually be proud about what we believe in, giving people second chances or being able to help each other? Because the community is actually about helping each other. And so why do we set up so much barriers for people, and so that's the biggest flaw in how our politics is being run, and like why we need people who are progressive. You know, why I'm working so hard in this council race, because this is actually not just about Ward 6, but we need St. Paul to actually be a model for what other cities can look like, because people are actually not dreaming about what the communities can look like. They're just trying to fix you know, like, put together scraps and try to fix small things in the community that are actually going to be changed over and over again if we're not thinking about the bigger picture and what's coming ahead.
Yeah, I want to ask you more about the housing issue. Giving renters more rights and reducing the barriers for folks is one thing, but then the housing cost is another issue, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you, what's causing the housing crisis from that side? Why do costs keep going up, and what do you see the city being able to do about it?
Well, I would love to hear what your thoughts are about that.
It's a hard question.
Yeah, it is. And to be honest, like, I'm not someone who seeks to have all the nuts and bolts to everything, because I'm not going to be here saying that I'm an expert in everything. I think the best thing about me is that I'm always learning from people along the way who are already doing the groundwork to be able to make change in our community. And so I'd love to hear from you, other folks, you know, thoughts about housing and like why the market rate is like not affordable at all right now. But I know that for me, what's really important is, like, in the east side here, we have a lot of homes that need to be renovated. Like, we still have homes that have lead paint in it, and I want to see us actually like invest money into fixing up our homes and making sure that families don't live in these situations that are harmful for them or their children, and that means like making place, you know, in our budget for those type of renovations. The second thing that I've been very vocal about, especially as I have been, you know, talking with like realtors and folks who just want to see the east side do better here, is vacant lots. And it's actually like very, very hard to be able to sell your property if it's like not up to code, and you need to be able to renovate it in order to sell it off. And I want to work with other council members on changing ordinances that would make it more accessible to be able to sell your property even if it's not up to code, because there are actually a lot of lots here where it's not getting fixed up because the person who owns the property cannot actually afford it. And so this is like a huge issue that we have, because, you know, in the east side here, we actually need more. We need more homes. We need more areas that are actually going to like build and increase our tax base, knowing that we still have a lot of spending that we need to do. For example, like building all day recreation centers, libraries. Like, these are big dreams of mine that I want to see here in the east side, because we have a growing young community here. And so we need to, I think like what's the important thing is like, what can we do with homes right now where we can actually fix them up, make sure that families are moving here in the east side. And like, that's the biggest thing for me. But please do talk more about the question that you asked as well, because I would really love to hear.
Yeah, I don't know. That, to me, the housing issue looks a lot different when you're on the wealthy parts of St. Paul than when you're over here on the east side, which has got a lot more poverty and sort of working class communities, you know, because, I don't know, probably homes are not going up in value in the same way over in the east side and in Payne Avenue area as they are in Highland Park or whatever. So I'm just interested in, like, how that affordable housing conversation looks different from this perspective. Perspective of folks over here in the east side in Ward 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've been thinking a lot about, I've been having conversations with neighbors about the Hillcrest Golf Course.
Oh, yeah, and that.
Yeah. And
so can I just fill in the background? It's like a golf course that got sold, and then it's bought by a city, like industrial,
Port Authority.
That they bought the land and they're gonna do something.
that's a good way to put it. And we need them to build more housing there. Like, we need mixed use housing, like single family homes, affordable housing, and even multifamily units there as well. And I think that, like, that's a big dream of mine, because I feel like, because it's a project that is, like, gonna really, I feel it's gonna bring so much to the east side here. Like, we actually, this is an opportunity for us to actually make a decision on what do we want, like, the future of the east side to really be looking like. And I feel like the Hillcrest Golf Course is such a great opportunity for us to do that. I have one of our newly elected county commissioners, Trista Mattis Castillo. One of the things that I liked so much about her platform was that she also wanted to see community gardening as well in these golf courses that actually, like, take a lot of money, you know, to maintain. She wanted to make sure we made space for community gardens. And I think that that's something especially important in the east side here, because we have so many people from different backgrounds who do love to garden but don't have the space to do it, nor is it accessible for them. And so that's a big passion of mine, you know, like green space in our community.
Gardening is very popular in the Hmong community, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is. Yep. It's a big piece of our history and ancestry.
Let's see. So I have to ask you about the trash ordinance debate.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on that?
That's a huge thing. Like, since day one of my campaign, that's been a really, really big issue. I'll be honest with you. I've been running for more than a year. I have not met a single person in my ward who is happy with the system as it is right now. And I have not met a single person who says, "Nelsie, vote yes on the ordinance." All of them want a leader or, like, a council member who is going to vote no. And so I think that, you know, for me, this is something I want to make clear to everybody, like, whether or not you live in Ward 6, organized trash is extremely important. We need that. It's possible. If you look at Minneapolis, they have that. They also have a citywide compost as well, which is something that we need as well. And, like, St. Paul is falling far behind where we need to be in order to make sure that our city is a green, clean, sustainable community that is even, like, running, running on, like, clean, renewable energy. Like, that's where I want to see our city go. And, you know, that being said, like, I think that there is just so much flaw right now in the trash system. And if in Ward 6 here, other council members or even, like, other folks in the community are looking for a yes vote, then they need to organize. They need to organize and make sure that they're going to tell the folks here who live in the east side, who have always been left out, that actually we're going to make room for you. We want to make sure that if in our city we want a trash system that works for us, we will actually come talk to you and make sure that you feel you feel you are being included and that you feel you are brought along in our vote. Because for me personally, I'm someone who wants to be able to vote yes, but that's actually really hard when you live in a community that has been left out of a very important decision made in our city here. So that's where I stand. And I'll just say that, like, you know, in campaigns that I've been running in my life, There's nothing that, like, you cannot win a campaign without organizing people, without organizing money, and without bringing everyone to the table. And so if people want the East Side to be brought along, they better have the courage and confidence to come to this side of the city and have conversations with people, who, you know, just want the same thing as them.
Okay, so luckily, I guess it's not really a city council decision. It's a referendum right now.
It's about people, yeah. But, and that's why I say it's about people needing to come to Ward 6 here to talk to everyone.
What do you think the city council would do if you were on it if the no vote referendum passed?
If the no vote referendum passed, well, for me, like, I have always wanted to see St. Paul have organized trash. So that's something that I would be championing and organizing, you know, people and also other council members to also make sure that we do it differently this time. And I use the word organizing a lot because as a council member, your job is not just there to, like, make decisions and listen, but you're also there to try to go out and engage with people. And that's what organizing is all about. Like, you don't make decisions on your own, like, values alone. You bring people together.
So. Would you pledge to stay awake during council meetings?
Yes, of course.
Okay, just making
sure. If I don't, why would I be running? That's my biggest question, and I know where your question comes from because we've seen.
We don't need
members.
To talk about it. I just want to make sure that that's on your campaign platform. Yes. Is there any other issues that you want to talk about today?
Well, I want to talk about something that's, like, near and dear to my heart, which is education. And in my run for city council, I think that a lot of people are so caught up in staying in their own lane that they do not actually see how deeply interconnected our levels of government are. Basically, like, city working with the city, like, having, you know, working collectively with our school board, with our county, and, like, you know, making sure that our state elected officials are also being accountable to helping out cities as well. Like, I think that our government should actually be, like, communicating with each other, working collectively. And I talk about education because that's something so important to me. Like, as someone who grew up in school, public schools that were underfunded and, you know, did not have as much after school programs as, like, other schools in my district, I always made sure that no matter what, I would do what I could to, like, support myself and my education, support my peers, and make sure that, you know, my teachers, like, I'm someone who is also doing my part to make sure my teachers' lives are also, like, you know, professional life is also running smoothly as well. Like, I just want to say that education is something so important to me. I'm invested in it. I don't think that I would be where I am today if I didn't have educators who cared deeply about me and wanted to see me grow beyond, like, you know, just the poverty that was in my life. And I'm, like, so invested in us, like, having teachers, children who are going to schools that they are really proud about, where they feel they are happy and, like, living a lot of joy in it. And I know that's actually not where we are now. And that's why, like, for me, when I was in a screening with our St. Paul Federation of Educators, you know, they asked me, hey, like, you know, can you make a commitment to support fully funded schools? Can you fight to make sure that charter school, you know, fight to support a charter school moratorium, make sure that our public schools are getting the funding that they need? I was the only person who said yes. And that's, like, you know, I'm proud of that. I'm also really disappointed that other folks in my race, they talk a lot about wanting progress, but actually do not make the commitment to fight for that and want to live in a place of gray. During a time when so many people are, like, actually suffering and need more resources. And so that's something that I want to share because in the East Side here, like, you cannot have a council member who is not committed to fighting for children, for families, for educators. You cannot have a council member who doesn't see the importance behind having a collective government. Like, we need that. And, like, that is what I feel, that is, like, one of the biggest things that I feel differentiates me or distinguishes me from the other people in the race. And, like, our voters need to know that. And they, for those who care deeply about education as well, I want them to be able to, you know what's at stake and for them to also vote for me as their first choice.
Great. Yeah, like, I'm glad you said choice because it's a ranked choice system in St. Paul. So you get to put down more than one person, but you rank them all.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Well, Nelsie, what are you up to now? And I guess you're probably door knocking and doing forums and stuff. And then when is election day? So maybe folks would be reminded about that.
Well, I am a working person, just living paycheck to paycheck as well. So I work full time at Take Action Minnesota when I get off work, or, you know, if I work in the evenings, then my other time is spent campaigning, talking to voters, raising money so that we can have the resources and like people we need to be able to get engaged in politics this year. And so that's what, my typical day for me looks like.
Well, thanks for taking time out of it to talk to me.
Yeah, of course. I enjoy this. And, so election day is November 5th.
Oh, okay. Yep. That's like a month away, basically.
Yep. It's always the first Tuesday in November. And everybody can actually start voting now. If you live in Ramsey County, the location to vote is the Ramsey County Elections Office. It's on 90 Plato Boulevard West. And it's open from 8 to 4:30 every Monday through Friday. So you can vote early. If you don't want to vote early, but you want to vote closer to, the election day, there are other locations across our city that will be opening up, I believe, starting October 28th, and it'll start opening up on weekends as well. But election day for sure is Tuesday, November 5th. So okay. You want to make sure you don't miss that day. And I ask for everyone's support in voting for me as their first choice.
Well, thank you, Nelsie Yang, for talking to me today.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Streets MN podcast. If you are interested in joining a conversation about Minnesota's transportation and land use, direct your browser to streets.mn. Content for Streets MN is volunteer.